Hey guys, welcome to Weekend Buzz. My name is Tony.
And I'm Dale.
And we would like to welcome you to, what is this, Dale?
Weekend Buzz, boy!
And the Guardians of the Galaxy Fest.
Guardians of the Galaxy Fest.
I like it.
Like Meat Feast, but Fest.
You've taken it wrong direction. I was thinking music festival
hungry.
Slash...
I'm just hungry. Dale's pizza.
Dale's starving. But yeah, so welcome to the Weekend Buzz. This is going to be our Guardians of the Galaxy special, all linking into the Rewind as well as what we've been to see
and
for our
giveaway.
Main review. Oh, and our giveaway. Everything is Guardians of the Galaxy based, so if you're not a Guardians of the Galaxy fan, still stick with us though, because we've got stuff to give you.
Because by the end of this, you will be a Guardians of the Galaxy
You absolutely
fan.
Will be. So, right, Dale... Give us a lowdown of what we've got in store for these guys today.
So, today, on today's show, ladies and gentlemen, we have... So, we'll be starting off with our Rewind, and our Rewind will be the original Guardians of the Galaxy from 2014. And then we'll be going on to our Buzz News, which is the top five news stories of the week, and we'll try and keep them as quirky and as fun as we can possibly find, and there are some crazy ones, trust me, ladies and gentlemen. And then we'll be moving on to our... Movie review of the week, which is Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. And then we'll be wrapping it up with our giveaway. So the giveaway, us giving back to you guys, the thing that everyone sticks around for, and trust me, this week is amazing. Like, limited edition. Oh. That every week, they're just out of the park, out of the park, out of the park, every single week. And, yeah.
It's just an explosion of well, for us, it's an explosion of colour. It's an explosion of... Marvel, it's just an explosion of Guardians of the Galaxy all over the shop, and I love it. It's just been spray painted across us today, and that's what I like about it. So, I mean, let's start with a rewind.
Let's start the way we always do, which is giving back to you guys. We always start with the giveaway code. Ooh. So this is your 10% discount code for limited edition comics. And limited edition comics are a comic shop based in Stevenage. They give us all of our giveaways for you guys. And then they're also very, very kind. They do free delivery in the UK anywhere with 10% off. So for you to get 10% off, very, very simple. In the coupon section for their website, which I will put in the link in the description below, all you need to put, all in capitals, is GOTGVOL2.
Wow.
So that is basically Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. So all in capitals again is GOTGVOL and then the number 2. That gets you 10% off. So if you're like our good friends and you've already won stuff off of us and you've got like one part of a collection, let's say like one Red Ranger or... issue one of Venom, and you want more, that's the place to go. You get a 10% off. And they get exclusive stuff in from the States, like last week's competition for a Batman issue 21 3D cover.
Oh, the 3D cover was absolutely amazing, and that's been given away. We have a winner for that, but it won't be announced yet.
They have sold out of that, by the way.
It's
gone. They can't get hold of it anymore. It's that hard to get hold of in the UK.
22, though, has got a 3D cover.
So 21, Batman 21 and 22 and Flash 21 and 22, which is a four-part series called The Button, all have latextual covers, which are the 3D covers, and they change, and they are amazing.
Oh,
they're so beautiful.
Even to hold, like, even if you're not that kind of guy that wants to hold a comic or blah, 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 you want to just keep it and frame it and do whatever.
Grading. They were talking today, they were saying that a 9.8 is probably worth about 100 quid.
Wow, and that's at the moment.
A 9.9, because they're so rare to find, could be worth anything from £1,000 upwards. And then a 10 is just unheard of, but
that's the way it is, you know. But these guys have got them, guys. I mean, well, they haven't got 21 anymore, but
pick up your 22s.
They've got 22s. Go and pick your 22s up. So go onto their website. They're on Facebook. I've seen them on Twitter as well. So go and check them out on all them options, and then put the code, which is Dale.
GOTG. So Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. All in capitals, in the coupon section, gets you 10% off. Simple
job
as that.
Done, 10%. And that's our give back to you guys.
Boom.
Here on a weekend buzz.
Right, let's get on to our Rewind.
Cool, you're keen today.
I'm buzzing.
Keen today.
Absolutely buzzing.
This week's Rewind is director James Gunn's Guardians of the Galaxy, starring Chris Pratt and Dave Bautista and Michael Rooker.
Don't forget Zoe as well.
Zoe, yeah. There's so many. I mean, like, you could go on for oh, so long. But it's just like you're just so immersed in everything that they do. But we'll get onto that in a minute. Let's go synopsis time, guys. So a group of intergalactic criminals are forced to work together to stop a fanatical warrior from taking control of the universe.
Dun, dun, dun.
Big man, yeah. Ooh. Right, so what did you think of it first of all, Dale? The original. Now, bearing in
before
mind...
Before watching it in the IMAX again or what? Because let's just say, it didn't start off with a couple of bumps, didn't it?
Oh, yeah.
We won't get into that too much,
but there was a round of applause when things started. But yeah, we will go there a different time in another place. But yeah, so how did you originally watch this first?
So I believe I watched it normal 3D.
Yeah, did you?
I might have watched it in IMAX. I can't remember exactly, like, it was too long ago. But I remember watching it in cinema and I was just like, yeah, boy, this is it, this is it.
Well, I mean, when I first watched this, I did go to just normal standard 2D cinema showing, and there was not much hype for myself. I was just like, oh, this is another kind of realm within Marvel, so let's go and see what it's all about. So I went in, sat down, chilled out, watched the film, come out, mind blown. You know what I mean? It was one of them things. No expectation, went in, story was so on point, everything.
Characters, yeah, everything.
Oh, everything was just so on point. For me, when I first started watching this, and we went last night, didn't we? Because we were like,
yeah,
so we went and watched the double bill, and we sat down and we watched it. And the first bit that I was kind of like in awe of was the beginning, because I couldn't remember much of the beginning.
Yeah.
Like the whole kind of background into, you know, how, you know, Peter Quill got into space in the first bit. And I absolutely loved it. It's a touching moment in that first couple of scenes there. And I loved it. And man, that kind of Warpman just survives the test of time, doesn't it? You
know? it's the soundtrack is what gets you, though, isn't it? It's all the old school music. It's the, like, no matter what generation you are, if you're of the 80s generation, you go, oh, I know that song. And if you weren't like me, you got hooked on it so much, literally hooked on a feeling. You were just like, oh, and you're on it. You were downloading that. You were downloading that Awesome Mixtape 1, and you'll be downloading Awesome Mixtape 2.
Oh, you will be. Two is out now. They released it, I think it was like either a week prior or a few days prior to the release of the film.
Yeah.
I've had me old earbuds in listening to them, and I think it's great. Absolutely great. I mean, there was, I was listening to James Pratt on the radio, and he said basically when they get the
James
script...
James Pratt. You've basically mixed I've the mixed. Director and the lead character. What a boo.
Well, Chris Pratt. But yeah, I remember, well, I was listening to him and he was saying when they get the script, they get what soundtracks, what tracks are going to go with it.
Wow.
So as they're reading, they get the track and they can, you know,
visualise
and stuff like that, which I think is absolutely awesome, because obviously what James Gunn does is he basically has a probably set list in his head, and he's like, let's see how we can put them through the emotional rollercoaster through that music.
So this is the difference between the soundtrack of Suicide Squad and the soundtrack of Guardians. So the soundtrack of Suicide Squad was just so many different songs, but they weren't really, like, they didn't collate massively well, like, not all of them collated with the visuals you were watching.
Yeah.
Whereas with Guardians of the Galaxy, 99% of it, you match it with the visuals, you're like, yes, cool, I've got that.
Yeah.
Like the opening song of Guardians 1, where he, you know, you just visualise Peter Quill going through the water, kicking the rats around, picking the rat up, singing into the rat, like that, you visualise that straight away,
it's so
and
good.
It just works so well.
I mean, that obviously, because you have the opening scenes where it's, you know, him and his mum and all stuff like that, she's dying.
Yeah.
And then you go on to, obviously, him being older and then going to, in his Indiana Jones kind of role, scavenging, which I think is brilliant. Like, and it's that kind of sets the tone for the film. Like you said,
the music
kicks in, the big writing comes up on the screen, Guardians of the Galaxy, and he's just dancing through, you know, bow, 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 bow. And like, and it just carries on.
Yeah.
It just sets that sets the tone, and then obviously gets the orb, and then he's kind of confronted by one of the other guy's gang.
That says
and the comedy element comes in.
Yeah, there's another name you might know me by. Star-Lord.
Who?
Star-Lord, man. Yeah.
But that's what I mean. It's
like the introduction of all the characters in the film is spot on. So let's go with your reaction when you when you rewatched it. So when we went and watched it in IMAX,
did it
maintain the same feeling, the same awe that you had, or did it top it or do worse?
Now here's the thing. When we sat down, obviously we had water. And then basically, it said on there, this isn't IMAX and all this stuff. And we were like, all right, okay, fair enough. And I was sitting there like, fair enough. And I thought, oh, we're just going to rewatch it. And then all of a sudden it was all done again. Do you know what I mean? It was like, to me, it was like a kind of remake, if you get what I mean.
Was it like watching it again for the first time?
It was. That's what I feel like. And that's what I'm trying to get at. Because obviously when you see that flash up and you're like, oh, okay, maybe it's just the second one that's just going to be all in this and that. And then, so basically, when I it was like rewatching it again. I loved it. It was
watching it for the first time as your, because obviously you, like you said, you saw it in standard, so now you're seeing it as an enhanced experience.
In an enhanced experience, and it was so good. Like, it brought everything back. It brought the colours forward to the forefront. Yeah. It brought what it should.
The sound, everything, like, that's what IMAX does. But the movie itself, just in general, like, I don't know about you, but this film, I bought it on Blu-ray the second it came out, and I can watch this film at least once every 3 months.
Even on Blu-ray, like Blu-rays, like, because this film is so rich in colour, and like the visuals, the scenery, everything is so beautiful. You just get blown away with it.
Yeah.
You don't just sit there and go, this is just standard, you know.
Even Ronin, is, you know, like, everything he does is all dark and dirty and just grungy, but then him himself is just, he's got that blue skin tone to it, and it really pops in comparison to the darkness of the rest of him.
The scene I love is when you first see Ronan, he comes out from that water, like, kind of gunky water, and then they're cleaning him down, and then they're throwing dust on him, and then they're dressing him, and they're putting the makeup on him, and you think to yourself, oh, like, it's just visually stunning. It draws you in, it sucks you into that, you know, that frame, and that's what I like about it. But Ronan, for me, he's good to a sense, and I like the way they brought Thanos into this. You know, I kind of thought they could have darked that bit off. They could have kept Thanos a mystery. But, I mean, he isn't a mystery because he was shown when in one of the previous Avengers films, but I'm saying there could have been a bit more mystery about him.
I think it's what people wanted, though. Like, by that point, you had seen so many little droplets of Thanos. You were like, we actually just want to see him now. And I think at that point, they fully got Josh Brolin in, and they were just like, here you go, here's your Thanos. And I think his demeanour was just like, you kind of felt that. He was like, this is the guy not to mess with. This is the Mac Daddy. This is the it.
Yeah, I mean, it was one of them moments. I mean, Ronan was good. He was a strong character. For me, there was probably just not enough of him. Like, I think there could have been a bit more. I don't know why. I just had that element about him.
I get what you mean. Like, you wanted more of Ronan, but I think it was, the time was so much spent introducing you with the characters.
Yeah.
But it was introduced in the right way. And this is the difference between this one and Volume 2, which we'll get onto later.
Oh, yeah.
Is with this one, it was just brief. It was brief. These are your characters. These are attitudes. You love them. You don't need to know mass amounts of background. It is just simply, you know, Rocket is an experiment. Groot is an organic tree. Gamora is the adopted daughter of Thanos. Peter Quill, you saw his little bit of background, and then Drax the Destroyer, and you're just like, that's all I needed. I just needed those sentences for each of them characters, and I love them, I'm entertained by them. You know, Groot is just adorable. Rocket is just, again, he's adorable, but he's adorable in the right way. He's just such a badass. You're like, I love you so much.
Rocket is my favourite.
And then you've got your Star-Lord, Peter Quill, who's, I mean, I read this the other day, and, you know, talk about, you know, just, you know, the saying of falling in poo and come out smelling the roses. It's that kind of thing that, apparently, they when they were trying to get Peter Quill, everyone else was interviewed. Like, Chris Pratt wasn't the first name on the list.
Oh, wow.
And he actually turned out to be one of the last. And this is what I'm saying by, it couldn't have been a perfect, like, everything that Peter Quill does is Chris Pratt. You're just like,
oh, definitely.
Yes. Like, Chris Pratt has the charm, he has, you know, the comical value, he has, you know, the rugged good looks, he works so hard for this, and he is an inspiration to so many people. He's just, you know, he could not, Peter Quill is Chris Pratt, and Chris Pratt is Peter Quill. There's no two ways
to me
about
that's
it.
The same as what you could say about Robert Downey Jr. and being Tony Stark.
Yeah.
I think that's that mold there fits that as well.
But I mean, what I'm saying with Chris Pratt is, if you knew him from, like, Parks and Rec, I believe it is.
Yeah.
If you knew him from his old days, he wasn't Star-Lord. Like, visually, he wasn't Star-Lord.
No.
Like, he did not have the physique, and he went through grueling training to become the physique, but his personality was just it.
It's it.
And it
yeah.
was that moment where you go, you know, this guy is that character, and that's why so many people relate to him, and so many people love the character of Star-Lord, because it's not Chris Pratt playing Star-Lord. It's Chris Pratt being Chris Pratt with a different name in this space universe. And then Zoe as well, Zoe Salamander is, is just, again, Gamora. She has that look to her. She has the badass background. She has the strength. She has the force. And it's just like, all of you, even flipping Vin Diesel as Groot, and all he needs, he was even baby Groot, and all he needs to say is, I am Groot in different tones, and like you just feel it.
I just love the fact that Rocket knew exactly what he was saying.
It's like the Shaggy and Scooby combo, wasn't it?
It's like the Han and Chewie. It's like Han and Chewie.
Yeah. Yes,
that's what it is.
You just know it.
You know that is Marvel's Han and Chewie. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
For me, that is what it is.
Even Dave Bautista as Drax as well is just so funny. Like, I always love it when he goes, "It's a metaphor. They're people are literal." Metaphors just go straight over the head, and then he just goes, "Nothing goes straight over my head. I will catch it. My reflexes are too sharp."
Like,
he's just so good.
That's it.
Like, Drax, you're just like, "Drax, I love you. You're just, you know, just the way you act, and it's just perfect."
And that's what I mean. It's all a case of great casting, good vision, you know, performances from them actors that bring them characters to life that make us we're endeared to them, we love them, do you know what I mean? And that's what I like about Guardians. It's set a great foundation for what can be great, you know, a great structure for, you know, and it's you know, a little bit of news before the news that they have said that Volume 3 is going to be in production. And also, you
know, they'd be foolish not to. Like,
it's crazy.
I think what James Gunn did really, really well in this one is he didn't make it an in-depth origin story, and I was watching the film and I was keeping an eye on it, and it was literally a little bit of warm-up for like 5 minutes and then action.
Yeah.
A little bit of warm-up and then prison break. A little bit of warm-up and then space travel, like space battle.
Space battle, yeah.
And it was constantly on and off, so you never got bored. You never got dragged out with like, this is too much story, we get to the point. He kept the story on a minimum. He kept it very simplistic. He kept the action on the high, and the characters drove it from there. And it was just...
But it's what we like here at the Weekend Buzz. Simplicity, and then just a good...
I don't mind complications, which you get like complex storyline.
But it's got to be that complex where it's relevant, and
we'll get onto with Volume 2, because they're both similar yet different in the same... Like, I just think that with Guardians of the Galaxy 1... He must have known, like, you know, not many people know about Guardians. Let's keep this simplistic. Yeah. Let's do what people want. And he nailed it. Absolutely nailed it. And like I said before, this is one of the very, very few films that I can watch once every three, every two, whatever month. I will stick it on, watch it, and, like, love it. And even then, what was so happy was when we were watching IMAX, there was parts that the whole cinema continued to laugh at. They didn't go stale. They didn't go dry. Like, even when Rocket goes to Quill, "I need that guy's leg." And he just goes, "I don't actually need it. I just thought it'd be funny to see him hopping around." How funny was it watching him hop around? And it's just like...
It is just so good. It's quirky moments. Like you said, it's quirky moments like that. When Rocket, like you said, wanted the leg. And then when Chris Pratt puts it down, he's just like, "I just wanted to see what it's like."
Yeah.
It is quirky moments. And I love quirky moments in film. And for me, it had everything. The story... The soundtrack,
score as well,
visually,
actors,
like everything in
every
this,
box was ticked on this.
It was everything. And it's not Oscar. It's not going to be this Oscar winning film.
No, it's not.
That you're going to sit down and think, "Oh wow, yeah, you're going to win BAFTAs and Oscars coming through your ear holes." Well, yeah, you might win BAFTAs for visuals or whatever, and soundtrack. But I think that's about it. I mean, you want to be put in a situation when you sit down in that cinema seat. You want to be taken somewhere.
Yeah.
You want to go somewhere. You don't want over complications unless they're relevant.
There's different categories of films that are with the top stuff. There's those that get the Oscars that you'll watch maybe once, maybe twice in a lifetime. And you're just like, this is well done. Like, all the technical stuff is done perfectly well. It's really realistic. The storyline's really good. Blah, 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 blah. That's absolutely fine. But then for me, you get a film like this that's designed to do what films are doing, and that's entertain me, keep me entertained. And like I said, because I can completely re-watch this over and over and over again, that's it. That's what I want from a film. And, you know, hands off to James Gunn, hands off to everyone involved, the casting directors, Chris Pratt, like every single, from the top to the bottom, well done on this film. Like, I could not be happier with a film.
I couldn't be happier. And I think at the time it came out, it's what Marvel needed.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's what Marvel needed to carry on. And they
to branch out of the Avengers. Yeah.
Exactly. And this is where it comes from. And they've done it so well. I mean, we can score this day.
We're ready to wind it.
We've gone angles upon angles. I'm going to go with a solid 8.
What is wrong with you?
I'm not going to go 9 or 10 because, like I said, it's not Oscar worthy and stuff like that.
So what?
So what are you going?
I'm going solid 10.
You're going solid 10?
Because there's nothing else for it. Like I said, if I can watch a film, I would not give an Oscar film a 10.
I'll meet you in the middle and go 9.
Well, it looks like we're going to have to. We're going to have to settle on 9, which I'm disappointed with. But
I was going to go. I was going to go 8 because I'm not going to. I enjoyed the film. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
Like, but it was basically a good origin story to, you know, obviously a universe which we're being introduced to. It was beautiful. It was stunning. But it wasn't taxing for the brain. It wasn't for me.
Exactly. But this is what I mean. You're seeing it as a different light, which is absolutely fine. Yeah. You're seeing it from an Oscars point of view. You're seeing it as...
I'm seeing it from a solid film.
The technical stuff needs to be in order, which is absolutely fine. That's completely... The way I'm looking at it is, I can watch this film over and over again, and I guarantee it, in 5 years' time, I'll sit my kids down and go, watch this, kids.
No, but I'm exactly the same. Don't get me wrong. I can watch this film over and over again.
Yeah.
But thinking about like films that I've seen in the past and films and stuff that I regard as a 10. You know what I mean? Like we sat down and we spoke about the whole Aliens thing. We've got another couple of weeks to that. But we spoke about that. To me, 8 the first Aliens.
All right, well, don't say what your score is, you know.
Do you know what I mean? That's what I'm saying. But that's what I'm trying to say.
That's what I'm saying.
It's one of them things for me. Like,
that's why it's personal
preference.
If I give
a film a 10, this is like, I want you to go out there and watch this film. Yeah. I don't want to just go, it's a 10.
No, the reason I'd give it a 10 is like, not just personally for me, for rewatchability, but A, anyone would rewatch it. B, I will chuck this out to anyone and they'll watch it and 99% of them will enjoy it. And then C, this Guardians of the Galaxy probably did the one thing that the rest of the Marvel Universe kind of did, but not to this scale. Like, the second someone watched Guardians of the Galaxy, I can almost guarantee the comic book sales for Guardians of the Galaxy spiked. Toy sales spiked.
For toys
you didn't actually know of, and you're like, oh, I'll go pick up a Spider-Man toy for your kid. The kid was probably like, I want a Groot, or I want this, I want that.
Yeah.
Like, it had such a domino effect in the greatest way possible.
I think you were there with that. I mean, for me personally, it's a solid 8. But you said a 10.
So we're going to meet in the middle.
We're going to meet in the middle.
Our rewind of Guardians of the Galaxy is going to be a solid 9 out of 10.
9 out of 10, guys, for Guardians of the Galaxy original.
Before we move on to next week's rewind, what I want to ask is, I want to know what your top 3 Marvel films are.
I love it. For me...
In order.
In order. Wow, you're putting me...
I'll do mine in order.
Go.
Right, number 1, Guardians of the Galaxy, hands down. Number 2 is Captain America Winter Soldier. Just so good. Like, action-packed, kept me on my toes, just everything. And then the third one's Deadpool. Just purely because it makes me laugh. Ryan Reynolds, again, like Chris Pratt is Star-Lord, Ryan Reynolds is Deadpool. And there's some that have missed out on there. Like, I love the first 4, I love the second 4. I'm not as big of a fan as Iron Man as quite a few other people are, but still like it. But yeah, my top 3, Guardians 1. And I know Marvel stretched overall because you've got X-Men as well, Blade. Guardians.
That's what I'm saying. You've got me like thinking
Guardians,
about
Winter Soldier, and Deadpool are my top 3, hands down.
I'm gonna go Guardians in 3rd, quite clear 3rd.
Yeah.
Blade original, Wesley Snipes.
First one, yeah.
Yeah, that's number 2. My all-time favourite is got to be, or has got to be, the original Iron Man.
Okay.
Because to me,
it kickstarted everything.
To me, it kickstarted everything. And B, it introduced me to the comic book world. I was never always into comic books. That was the thing that got me going like, wow, I need to go to my nearest comic book shop.
Pick them up, read.
And I'll tell you, my first comic book, I always remember, I went in, comic book guy, all right, Rich. I said to him, like, you know, I want to get into comics. What do you want to find? What can I start reading? That's A, new. B, that I can just get every week. Da, da, da. And he said, right, X-Men... versus the Avengers. He said, buy that, see how you get on with it, and then maybe we can talk about other stuff. And yeah, I mean, they helped me out.
And Tony became a comic book addict.
Comic book fan.
Anyway, so for you guys at home, if you want to get involved, just let us know where your top 3 Marvel films are, any order you wish, or you can put them in your top 3 if you'd like.
Put them in the comments below.
You can just let us know via our Facebook. Always there, ready to connect with you guys. We connected with a couple of people last night who was asking which cinema we were at and stuff like that.
That was a pleasure. Do you know what? That was absolutely cool. When we're sitting in there and you've got a couple of posts I've done, what do you think? Yeah, they're great, Dan. And I scroll through.
It's a couple of comments. Is that a cinema? Yeah, it is.
Come and say hello. Right. We're just sitting there.
So that was it for our rewind. Next week, rewind, linking up with our movie review of the week. Now, unfortunately, because we do have to wait a week for Alien, because Alien isn't out until the 12th of May. Sorry, Tony, you're going to have to suck that one up.
I don't want to suck that one up. I don't want to. I want it now.
I want to watch it now.
I do. So next week's a bit of a mixed bag because I've had a look myself and there's not that much out really in regards to what's coming up. Because obviously after the week after is what I like to call the summer blockbuster season.
You seen they're doing an Alien Day again as well on the 11th, the day before Alien Covenant's release.
No way.
Yep. Wait. On the 11th, I just told you, 11th of May. I don't bloody know, I'll have a look in a minute.
Ooh.
God, might have to do an Alien Day.
Oh.
Actually, we might have to because I've never seen Aliens, so we get to re-watch that in, rewind that in the big,
That'd be massive.
Screen IMAX. Anyway, so, linking up with our movie review of next week. So our movie review main actor next week will be Jamie Foxx. So, I'm going to rewind, or we are going to rewind, and we'd do like you to join along if you wish. We're going to rewind one of my personal Jamie Foxx favourites, very, very few. And it is going to be Django Unchained.
No way! I love that.
So we're going to be rewinding that. So Quentin Tarantino, Christopher Waltz, Leonardo DiCaprio, Samuel L. Jackson.
So good. I can't wait. It's an epic, like, I'm not into westerns. I remember, obviously, when you sit down with your grandparents, there's a western on and stuff like that. You know,
but it's different. It's different.
Oh, this is a different kettle of fish.
Different class.
There's another western I wouldn't mind watching. Maybe a future rewind would be.
Back to Future 3 doesn't count, by the way.
Is it Bone Tomahawk?
Bone Tomahawk.
That's supposed to be a really good one. I wouldn't mind watching that. Not seen it. Would love to watch it. So anyway, bear that in mind for any
next week's rewind. For you guys to join along and let us know what you think as well is Quentin Tarantino's Django Unchained.
Love it. Dale, he's on it. Like Sonic.
So
right.
Let's be moving on to this week's
buzz news, guys.
So, buzz news this week. Tony, are you going to be starting off with the news story number one?
Number one of the week.
News story one I'm going to start with is Jurassic World 2 ties directly into Jurassic Park. I think...
Jurassic Park, you've read that correctly.
Yeah, Jurassic World 2 ties directly into Jurassic Park. So what they're doing with Jurassic World 2 is they want a direct link from the original. So events that happened in the original film are going to have a major repercussions with what's going to be happening.
Yeah, I thought what you were saying about that is that Jurassic World 2 is going to link, so it's going to be like, as if it was a prequel to the original, but it's like,
no,
that doesn't work because you've seen
no,
all the
No, that's what
bits.
I'm saying, we know everything about that, but this is what they want to do. Apparently this sequel is going to be a lot darker, you know, they've been over here, Chris Pratt's been over here filming in the UK for 5 weeks. We've had a couple of pictures come
definitely
out.
Definitely haven't been stalking Chris Pratt.
No, I haven't, not at all. You know, and we've also had Jeff Goldblum.
Been announced.
He's
gonna be
in it. So I think it's going to be absolutely great. I think personally I'm going to love it because it's going to be a nostalgia moment. They kind of got me with a little bit of nostalgia in Jurassic World when, you know, where they got the goggles out, there was t-shirts, you know, there was they went back to the old building.
It was the part where they went for the old building,
yeah,
there was the
like
banners and the old cars
Jeeps
and all of that.
And stuff like that. Like, it got me going. Like, it really did get me going, and that's what I like about it. And I like the way that they're doing this. It's not the fact that Jurassic Park, you know, the events that happened there have just been gone and forgotten. You know, they did build a totally new park on the same island, blah, 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 blah. And now they're still revisiting that story, you know, in this sequel that's coming up, which I think is going to be absolutely amazing. I can't wait to see the teaser trailer for it. There's a new dinosaur as well. I love the way what they're doing on social media at the moment. So they'll have a picture of like a director's chair or an actor's chair, and then in the glass behind it is a brand new dinosaur.
See, they've got to stop that though, because, like, all right, first one was the original T-Rex, and then they, what was it, like, the third one was a Spinosaurus or something, and then Jurassic World was, like, a hybrid, was it, like, Spinosaurus with a T-Rex, with a raptor, with reptilian scales, with this, with that, with a... It's like, yeah, we get it. Just give us a dinosaur. We're fine.
Oh, it's great. But they're also going back to the animatronics, which is what made Jurassic Park so
good.
And, you know, with Colin Trevorrow of, you know, new Star Wars director, and Steven Spielberg writing this sequel, I'm really looking forward to it. I'm kind of enjoying the old Colin Trevorrow moment at the moment. I said that to you, didn't I? I'm really enjoying him, his work and the way he's moving forward and what he's doing for everything, because he's bringing a lot of nostalgia back to me, man. It's so cool. So, Jurassic World 2 is scheduled to open on June 27th, 2018. So keep your eyes peeled for that, guys. That's my first bit of news. Dale, what is your second bit of news?
My second bit of news is revolving around Star Wars. So for you guys that are like, I can't wait until December 2019 for it to be episode 9. Do not worry, you do not have to wait very long. So episode 9 arrives in May 2019. So not only at the end of this year are you going to get episode 8 in December, come 2018 we'll probably get our spin-off. Now I was saying which would be the Han one. Now I was saying this to Tony after watching James Gunn do both Guardians 1 and 2. I said it would be very nice to see him get the keys to maybe, he's already locked in with Disney anyway, it'd be nice to see him get the keys to a Star Wars movie. He might be a very good fit. He might be able to do a very good Fett movie.
He could do a very good Fett movie, because if you think about everything that goes on in the Guardians of the Galaxy universe, as in bounty hunters, and mercs and all stuff like that, he could
do it.
And I think it'd be quite cool, but I mean, it's Marvel, Disney, same realm, same company, Disney, like...
I reckon it'll be a good one.
Do you reckon that could be a future bit of news? I think that's possible.
So watch your space. So the date is April 28th, we're recording this one. This goes out live on April 29th. And we are making a quick call here that James Gunn will be directing a future Star Wars movie.
You heard it here first, guys, on the Dibs. Weekend Buzz. Dibs, we're in. We've put that little marker. That's ours. We said it first. But yeah, I think personally, him doing a Boba Fett film, and I think what he'd have to do is sit down and be like, we need to make this higher than a 12A.
You could do the Obi-Wan one. I don't mind. I reckon he'll be very good to do it. I reckon he has.
But like you said, I'm not really interested in an Obi-Wan. I'm really not. Even if Ewan McGregor comes back, it's kind of a bit like, no. The Boba Fett idea is so good. It's so fresh and it's so in a different.
As long as it's done right.
If it's done right, it'll be absolutely amazing.
Cool. News story number three, Tony.
News story number three. I'm probably taking this one off you, but Sony Pictures have updated their release schedule, and Masters of the Universe reboot.
Masters of the Universe is He-Man. So if you watch the new Go Compare ad, is it Go Compare or Compare the Market?
That's it.
That's probably one of my favourite ones. Just like Skeletor. It's the bit at the end where he laughs. That little cackle is just like, I get you.
But the thing I love about this day, and it's a double celebration on that day. So December 18th it comes out, which is my birthday.
No one cares.
Everyone cares. Everyone cares. But yeah, so I'm excited because do you remember the original?
I never saw the original movie. I'm not that old, but like.
No, I know, but
apparently it was absolutely. Yeah, it was panned.
It was.
We should get our friend Sam Jones to come back and do it.
That could be a future question.
Cameo.
That could be a future.
Would you
question.
Like to play? Maybe it needs to be like a He-Man pass off.
Yeah, I mean, MCG was, you know, touted to be directing it, and to be quite fair, he's not going to be directing it, which is a shame, because I think he could do a really dark Masters of the Universe, and I think that's what they need to do with it, because even though the cartoon was kind of lighthearted, and then the film went on to be kind of dark, but kind of still lighthearted in the same sense, I don't know if that's achievable, but it was, I think, personally, it's got to be dark. I think the way everything's going at the moment, the darker it is, the better it is. And that's what I love about it.
Yeah.
And it comes true to life or, you know...
James Gunn to direct it, just saying. Give this guy everything.
No, but you could even say that. You could say that. You couldn't, like, you know, Colin Trevorrow, like, still on that love fest with him. You know, what about even, you know... I've forgotten his name. That's how good he is. But yeah, anyway.
Right, so news story number four. Now, this one is massive, massive, massive. Ooh. M. Night Shyamalan has revealed that his next movie is going to be called Glass. Now, for those of you who don't know what those of you don't know what that means, basically, at the end of Split, which we have reviewed, go back and check that out, Bruce Willis's character popped up, who was the original main character from Unbreakable, and people have been wanting a sequel to that film for absolutely ages. And M. Night Shyamalan has come out saying his next project is called Glass, which means he's going to be bringing back Bruce Willis's character. He's also going to be bringing back Samuel L. Jackson's character of Mr. Glass. And there might even be a sneaky pop with James McAvoy's Split character in there as well.
Oh,
my gosh,
boy. This
is the way a dark hero movie should be made. Incredibly dark, incredibly realistic. And
I hope for his sake, he moves on from Split in a good way.
Yeah, I hope it becomes good.
And takes what was good about Unbreakable, what was okay and good about Split and what could be changed, and then bring it into
this,
into Glass, because I'm so looking forward to Glass. It's unbelievable. Yeah. And the hype's going to be tremendous.
I'll be real. Do not let us down, M. Night. Do not do it.
Please don't. Please, please don't. Because right. It's going to be good. I reckon it's going to be a good film. I really do. It's me for the last bit, Dale.
Yep, you get number five.
I think this is good. Like, you're probably going to go, meh. Mad Max Fury Road sequel scripts are finished.
Ooh.
Not just one, but two. Now,
ooh, are they going to be that good that they're going to do up to three?
I'm excited. I'm excited because Mad Max Fury Road was brilliant. It was brilliant in colour. If you ever get a chance to watch it black and white, wow.
Have you seen it black and white?
Wow.
Did you just turn the colour off on your TV?
You can even, mate, obviously with all the technology we've got, you can do it either way. Like, there is one out there you can watch in black and white, or you can watch it in colour.
There's that part where it kind of technically is black and white. You know the part where... I'm kind of disappointed by it, but I kind of get it as well.
Yeah.
Is when Max goes off into the distance. Like, when the truck breaks down.
Yeah.
It's dark of night, and he goes off in the distance. And all you see is, like, a couple of gun flashes, shouts and stuff like that. And then Max just comes back, just a bit of blood down.
Yeah.
And he's, like, washing himself in the milk. And you're just like, I would have liked to see what you did to that, but I know, just by the way you've walked back, that they was brutal as hell. And
that, in black and white, Dale, has got to be...
It's practically...
Is the point of why it should have been in black and white.
Like the dry... What I love the best about it is it wasn't as if they were just like, here's a music track, like, we're going to play it, or here's a beatbox that we're going to press play on. It was, we've got this nutter with these huge amps, with this guitar that fires flamethrower, and it's just like, that is heavy metal.
I love it. I mean, the titles come out. One of them's come out. It's called Mad Max The Wasteland. Now, it's obviously going to carry on. I mean, obviously, this has all come out in an interview with The Independent. So if you want to go and catch that, go over to their webpage. But to be quite fair, I'm excited about it. I think it's going to be good. If it's done the same way, I mean, it's... Oh, I don't know. What Mad Max brings to the forefront is just good. It's suspenseful. It's good. It's just good. It's visually stunning.
Visually stunning. The action, the cars.
Oh,
I even watched the behind the scenes, and the way they did them stunts were just hats off to you guys. Right. I believe that is it for this week's movie news.
But I think that is it, guys. I mean, we've had some epic... We've had a bit of nostalgia.
Star Wars. Mad Max.
We've had everything.
M. Night Shyamalan's Glass.
Like, every time you say that, I just have an epic thought in my head, like, it's going to be, like, massive. But that's for another day. Right.
That was this week's installment of Weekend Buzz.
News. So, this week's review is director James Gunn's Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, starring Chris Pratt, Dave Bautista, and Kurt Russell, among many, many more. So, set to the backdrop of An Awesome Mixtape 2, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 continues the team's adventures as they unravel the mystery of Peter Quill's true parentage.
So, we're saving the galaxy again?
Yep.
Awesome! We're really going to be able to jack up our prices for two-time Galaxy Savers.
Yes!
Thoughts on the opening sequences and obviously the music when it started?
Okay. It's kind of interesting because it opens up with, you know, you've all seen in that trailer about a massive octopus alien comes down.
Yeah.
And the way it works is basically Baby Groot is there messing around and he plugs in these amps for a bit of music. And he starts dancing along and you're just following Groot dance along. And he's so cute and adorable. You're watching it while all the action is going on in the background and they're all getting their asses kicked and all the credits are coming up. And
it's so good.
It's so funny because Drax bullies Baby Groot and Baby Groot tries to fight back. And, you know, it's adorable. And it kind of had the same feeling that, as we said with Volume 1, where Peter Quill's going through the
motions.
The motions where he's like, where he's singing into the rats and it's doom, 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 doom. Yeah. You kind of had that same feeling with Groot because you kind of dance along with it and you're just so attracted by his adorableness that you don't like. And the way James Gunn breaks it up is every time one of the Guardian characters will come flying in or will knock Groot or whatever, and Groot will chat with him and or like have a just wave at him, and it kind of breaks it up. So it's not just you watching Groot dance the entire time. I thought the intro was good.
I thought the intro was spot on. I thought it was, like you said, it was a revisit back to the first one. I thought, you know, if it carries on like this, and if the third one goes in and we get Drax having a little dance, it'll be even better.
That's it. I'll give you that. So basically, when Drax comes flying in, if you remember the end credit scene where Groot's in the pot and starts dancing and then Drax looks over and he stops, Drax gets hit back by this alien and lands just behind Groot. Groot stops dancing and Drax looks at him.
Yeah.
And then Drax moves away and he starts dancing again. I was like, that is a really nice nod to the end of the first one.
Oh man, it is a great nod. And it was, to me, if it was so subtle that kind of, if you didn't watch the first one or you was thinking it's just one of them things, it's, oh, I loved it. But let's move on, guys, because that time, like we said, that beginning
that
sequence,
it sets
you up for what was just a roller coaster. So
going
on from there, you know, everything, I mean, visually, Dale. Oh,
visually beautiful, like the colours popped so much. Everything glistened.
In your face.
And this is where the comparison starts to come in from the volume one.
Yeah.
Now, where volume one, like I said, was very, very simplistic and very to the point.
Yeah.
This volume two could have very easily been volume one.
In the sense
that this was the origin, this was the storyline, this was the filler, this was all the information that people probably needed or wanted from the first one that they missed out on. So there were points where it got a bit droll because it was just like story without the action.
Yeah.
But because it was so compelling, you were listening along with it. And whereas the first one was little bit action, this was huge chunks of story. You need to pay attention, you need to listen.
Yeah, you do. Heavily need to pay attention.
There were a couple of lovey dovey parts where, which was fine, but I was just like, why?
But this, you was bound to get that from Chris Pratt's, from Chris's character and Zoe's character. You know, you was bound to get the Star-Lord and everything coming together. This story was kind of gelling them together a bit more. And this is what I noticed with this film, is they were trying to gel the characters a bit more. So they were trying to give you more background
to the characters, yeah.
So they want to be La Familia. They want to be the next Fast and the Furious, yeah? But this is what I mean. This ain't, by the way, don't scrap that tone. That's the end of bin. This is much better than that. So to me, to be quite fair, everything in a nutshell is of bringing them together. Mm. I mean, what the comedy for me?
They up the comedy.
What I'm trying to say is, do you think it was too much? Do you think it was too much at times, or do you think it was just spot on every time it came up?
It made me laugh, so it couldn't have been too much. But I think because it was such a dramatic, not a dramatic train, because it was such an uplift from the first one, it was basically like, let's make Baby Groot adorable and funny. Yeah. Let's make Drax funny. Let's make him a lot more comical.
Let's get in there.
But I think what the issue they did with Drax is they made him, like, you got his personality.
Yeah.
So I think that's the only way they got away with it is, what made us laugh was him being serious. It was his personality coming out.
Oh, yeah.
It was his general, not stupidity, but his general understanding of the world.
Yeah.
Exactly like the catching the metaphor over his head kind of thing. It was his personality, which is why it worked, and you could kind of just about get away with it without it being too much.
Too much. I mean, I thought everything was spot on. I mean, the storyline, you really had to pay attention because it was so deep in story at some points that you were kind of like, oh, I mean,
pay attention just
pay
in case
attention
any of those
to
eggs
it.
Popped out. Yeah.
Everything for me, even the Ravengers, I thought they were brilliant.
Stallone's cameo was very nice.
Cameo.
Yeah.
It was nice, it was subtle, and I thought it was relevant. Some cameos could be like, oh, there's Sly.
Yeah.
Oh. But no, it was relevant, and I thought it was good, and he played it well.
Yeah.
Like the smaller part he had, there was a
short,
scene,
simple.
There was a scene, wasn't there?
So
where
this is where we touch onto the backstory of Yondu. So Yondu plays a massive part of this. We're not going to give
huge.
Any spoilers away.
No.
This is going to be a spoiler-free review for you guys to go and enjoy the movie. But basically, Michael Rooker plays Yondu amazingly well, and fair play to the guy. And it dives into Yondu's backstory. So it's not just the Guardians' backstory you get to know; it's also Yondu's. Basically, they're part of this giant clan of Ravengers, and Yondu's is just a little clan.
Yeah.
And Stallone is kind of like the leader of it all. He's kind of the linchpin. And in one of the end credit scenes, yes, we now can confirm there are 5 end credit scenes. We will get to them towards the end of this.
Yeah.
That loads happens. So, All the cameos were perfect.
Yep.
I thought the visuals were very, very beautiful, very, very stunning. I thought the action in it, again, was very good, but there were droll parts with the story.
Oh, the story.
But it was needed. It was needed.
It was absolutely needed. I loved it. I loved visually. The visuals in it were stunning. Where we went from basically spaceship and everything like that.
Yeah.
The spaceship. And then even to, obviously, planets and stuff like that. Without giving too much away. Planets.
Ego, you know, and all stuff
ego
like that.
Ego and stuff like that. Absolutely awesome. Depth and field. Everything. I just loved. Like Doctor Strange, my eyes were everywhere.
Yeah.
At different points of the screen.
Very well treated.
Rocket had a bit more to do in this, which I loved. There's a scene where all I'm going to say is he sets traps. That'll set you up.
Everyone said, yeah. You've seen the bits in the trailers. He set traps for Ravengers and stuff like that.
Yeah. That scene was well orchestrated and well done.
It's more about like the Guardians being split up. It's more about them learning, and it's more about you learning about them, getting to know them a bit more. And I think, again, James Gunn delivers. It doesn't have the surprise factor that the first one has. It doesn't have the let's ease you in kind of moment. Like, this is the part where you have to pay attention. So it's not going to be perceived as good as the first one.
I'll be very
surprised if anyone can go in there and say, this is better than the first one straight off the bat without thinking about it.
Yeah.
Because I think you need time to digest it, and you need to look at it in a different light from the first one. The first one was surprise factor, action, get to know them on base level. This one is, here's a bit more meat on your bone. Here's a bit more for you to know about these characters. Here's a bit more for you to go, oh, I know why that now. I get this now.
Yeah, and exactly.
The best thing about it is it wasn't littered with Easter eggs.
Oh, no.
It wasn't like, here's this, here's that. It was, this is your focal point. This is what I want you to focus on. When I want you to see an Easter egg, I will put it there in front of your face for you.
There was one Easter egg which come up, I'm not going to say, because guys, if you see it, put it in the comments below. And this thing popped up twice. And I was like, yes, love it. Bosh, and I'm hoping future there may be something coming about of it. Dale's now thinking, what the heck are you going on about? We will chat with this off camera.
He doesn't get this spoiler things. He just tries to do everything too secretly.
He does.
You know, your standard Stan Lee cameo as always, and again that has a nice little nod to the rest of the Marvel universe with the characters that appear in this nod with him.
I think it's awesome.
I think everything's that good. Let's go on to the 5 end credit scene. So we'll try and save you some time. All the 5 end credit scenes are not that relevant.
They're not relevant. They're not relevant to future Marvel films.
There's one that has a connection to a future Guardians of the Galaxy film. The rest are just little nods and little comical moments. So we'll give you the only one that I'll touch on is the relevant one, purely because it. Some people that don't know might need a bit of a understanding to it. So.
Yeah, go on.
The whole idea, the reason this story, the movie goes for it, is Rocket steals some batteries off of the planet they've been told to protect.
Yeah, exactly.
And basically, at the end, they've been trying to kill the Guardians of the Galaxy, and right at the end, the main queen, I can't remember her name, Katrina, I think it is, something like that, is sitting there. She's talking to one of her disciples, and she says, "Oh, we've got. I've created this thing that's going to make the High Council's." Perception be absolutely fine with what all the resources I've spent trying to kill the Guardians of the Galaxy. Yeah, yeah. And you see this giant gold sarcophagus and she goes, I'm going to call it Adam. Now, for those of you out there that don't know, it's a link to a character called Adam Warlock. So Adam Warlock is, you know, is a character designed to try and take on the Guardians. And, you know, this is for the future aspect. This is a nod to Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3. It's nothing concrete. It's nothing set in stone. It's no little drops to Infinity Wars or anything like that. It's just purely to say
we've
still got stuff coming.
I think, to be quite fair, Adam could be dropped in anywhere. I think it could be.
Yeah.
It is what it is. I mean, for me, the end title scenes were totally pointless. I was kind
of... They weren't pointless. Some of them were funny.
Some of them were okay.
But they're not... If you're up at midnight and you're like, I've got to get home... That you're not missing anything. You're going to be like, they're just little chuckle moments.
I like them, but I just thought, this is what I thought. I thought I was going to go in there, get a couple of little jokey ones, nod to obviously what was going on in the film and the Guardians lot. Then I was going to get maybe a little touch on maybe, you know, Infinity Wars or Ragnarok.
It's a way of Marvel saying, how do we get people to sit through the credits? And this is how they've done it.
So. Yeah, exactly. Let's get 100% running time.
Anyway, the film's very, very good. Very, very colourful. Characters amazing again.
Soundtrack was awesome.
Soundtrack again on point.
It was solid. absolutely solid. We're going to wrap up there, I think.
Yeah, because we
have literally covered every base. I want to keep this spoiler free.
As spoiler free as we can. We recommend it to you guys, definitely.
Go and watch it. Definitely. Sit down and watch it. You'll enjoy it. If you enjoyed the first one, you'll enjoy this one. And you'll want to
see... Even if you didn't enjoy the first one, watch this one. You might enjoy this. Because it's, like I said at the start, they're same, but different. There's very, very good similarities between the two, but then this also takes... If you watch the first one, you're like, oh, I don't like this, I wanted to know more, this is your movie. This is the one. Watch this. So, let's wrap this up.
Right, let's go for it. Right, like we said, I'll tell you what,
I think it's a solid 8. It's very good. Characters are good. I just felt that at points where the storyline did roll a little bit and it's like, right, okay, fine... I accept it, but it did lose my attention. Again, if I can watch... If this doesn't seem like a type of film like the first one where I'll put on one every 3 months. This is probably a one every 6 months, one every 4 months kind of thing.
Dale has got a schedule for his Marvel film.
I've got a schedule for the films. for me, a happy, clappy, solid 8.
I'm going 7.
Yep, that's fine.
I mean, I'm currently in that place where, you know, I gave an 8 to, obviously, the last
gave
one.
Gave an 8 to the first
and
one.
And then, obviously,
less,
a 7 to this one because... Like I said, the story you have to pay attention to, whereas the other one, I didn't have to pay attention, but I still got it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Everything else around it was brilliant. I loved it. For me, it's a 7. Dale, where are we going to be?
We're fighting on an 8. We're going to sit on a low 8 because...
Low 8.
I think this is a little bit better than Logan. And even then, I think we underrated Logan when it first came out.
Oh, exactly.
But then I'm looking back on our past ones, and I think this does pip some of the ones we've given 7 to.
Oh, exactly.
So this is definitely a good... Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, 8... out of 10.
So you heard it here, guys. The Weekend Buzz, we give it an 8 out of 10. Go and catch that film at your local cinema. It's going to be epic for you to watch. Right, let's get on to what we do best now, and that's, what is it?
Our Guardians of the Galaxy giveaway.
That's
fest.
It!
So before we get on to that, limited edition comics, not only have they given us these pops and comics and bits and bobs to give away, we also have a 10% discount code, so if you get one of these and you want the rest of the set, simply all you need to put, all in capitals, is GOTGVOL number 2.
Yeah.
So it's Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, all abbreviated,
and I put that
10%
in...
discount code in the checkout section.
That's it.
On their website, which will be in the link in the description below.
That was getting used to this sponsorship.
On it.
I like it. Right, so yeah, guys, go and grab that. That's our give back to you and from Limited to you. So go and use that code, like, to your heart's content. Right, last week's winner, Dale.
I'm pulling up with last week's winner.
I love it because Dale.
We do it here live.
Go, oh, we've pre-planned this. This is who's going to get it. Dale's going to scroll, look, and I'm going to show you what last week's prize was.
That was Batman, last week's prize.
Batman,
the textual cover issue.
Can I move
21.
It, Dale?
Yeah, you can tweak it left and right.
Can
so
I
as
tweak?
You see, it's Flash, then Batman, Flash, then Batman. You can only get these in the States.
Yeah.
And the only place you can get them from the UK is limited edition comics, which are now sold out, and another one that.
The quality is amazing. So have you got that winner though?
Yeah, I've got the winner.
We need to give this.
So last week's winner, who they all went a little bit above and beyond. So the last week's question was, John C. McGinley plays which Doctor in the Scrubs TV show?
And I
was just looking for. Dr. Perry Cox, but everyone like went overboard and went Dr. Percival Eustace.
I see that, and that
Cox.
Is epic.
I was like, fair
epic.
Play, guys.
Yeah.
Well done.
Epic. Thank you very much, guys, for taking part.
The winner on that one will be Charlie Jackson Powell.
Oh.
Congratulations to you, sir.
Madam. You have won this epic
cover. Like I told you, graded, you could probably look happily, you know. It's like, again, get it from limited edition comics, get
your
10% off.
Graded,
30 quid. They'll grade it for you for 30 quid. Get your 10% discount off, that's 27 quid.
That's
Bosh,
it.
Done. Let's get on to this week's giveaway.
Right, and I'm saying to you now, Dale, this is an epic giveaway.
This is
a Guardians epic giveaway. And the question, I'm telling you, the question for this has got to be on point, sir. So I'm telling you now, before I show things on air, man, you best have something. You better have it. Hashtag on point, guys.
Hashtag on point.
So, we are going to go with 3 different prizes this week.
Yeah.
So, you're going to have a first place, second place, third place.
There's no places. It's just basically we have 3 winners.
Okay.
3 winners to give away. So, we'll be picking your names randomly again. The first one will get one lot of prizes.
Yeah.
The second one will get another lot of prizes. And the third one will get another lot of prizes.
First lot of prizes I'm going to show you are basically... the Groot.
Baby Groot pop toy.
Baby Groot.
And a Guardians of the Galaxy limited edition comics variant cover. Again, can't get this anywhere. This is issue number one, people. Number one of Guardians of the Galaxy with a variant cover. And a Baby Groot. And a Baby Groot. If you don't collect it, I believe me hell sure will.
I will. I want to go down there today, to be quite fair. Remember, it's pay weekend.
Payday.
So that was the first set of prizes. Second set of prizes is...
Again, Guardians of the Galaxy Forbidden Planet issue one variant cover. So these are all variants. We don't just give you the plain normal ones.
No, we ain't giving
you that.
We
give you the good variant ones. And this one is with Rocket and Groot on. And then you get your own Star-Lord pop toy. Oh,
this Star-Lord is so epic. Epicness in its feet, so good. Right, and also, right, so we've got a third set, which is basically Bosch.
Now, Dale. Right, now this needs to be explained very, very carefully. They are both issue ones. Now, the issue one on the right of the screen is a Midtown comic variant. Again, incredibly hard to get hold of.
Oh, massively.
The one on the left is a cosplay exclusive. So the one on the left, the one not the one that Tony's looking at, because he's a boo. So the one on the right is the exact same volumes as the other two comics. That is... Guardians of the Galaxy issue 1 from volume 1, right? The comic on Tony's left, or this camera left, is Guardians of the Galaxy issue 1 volume 4, because they reboot every so often. So not only are you getting the start of a Midtown comic variant, you're also getting a cosplay variant. Again, incredibly hard to get hold of, incredibly beautiful. So they're not the same comic, they are different comics, I promise you that now.
The only reason why I was looking at this is I was reading the speech
by Deadpool.
I see Deadpool and it's got, really? Iron Man, the Avengers weren't enough for you.
Says it all.
Deadpool.
Right, so we have three lucky winners can be winning those for next week. You know, if you get this question wrong, out you go.
Really?
So.
It's got to be good. I told you, it's got to be a good question, isn't it? Very sick prize.
If you don't get it right.
I'm not happy.
So.
I'm not happy.
Vin Diesel plays the voice for Groot.
Oh.
He only says... three small words, or well, one letter and then two words. What are those? So,
is it
what is Groot's script basically?
Is it Vin Diesel rocks?
Vin Diesel rocks.
No,
you haven't won. So, let's get it in order of question.
Let's go. Go on down.
What does Groot say in the movie?
Yeah, what is Groot's phrase in the film?
What is Groot's phrase?
Give us that answer in the comments below.
I am Boot.
Yes, it. I am.
I am Boot. I am Suit.
I am Vin Diesel.
I am Root.
That's a really bad sign.
Next week's schedule. So our rewind for all of you to join us is Django Unchained.
Yes.
We will have another 10% discount code and a giveaway for you guys thanks to our friends at Limited Edition Comics. We will be bringing you the top five news stories around the movie soon.
Definitely.
And then our movie review of next week will be Sleepless, the new action thriller with Jamie Foxx.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
Alien. So, just saying. And join us back here for the winner of the Guardians giveaway
fest. So don't go anywhere. Please don't go anywhere.
Don't go anywhere. So, thanks for watching. Yeah. You've been...
I've been Tony.
Changed it up on you.
It's changed it up on me. I'm Tony.
I'm Dale. We'll see you all next week.
See you all next week. See you later, guys.